Blog Talk Radio.
Captain Kurt will be joining us in a while for more shenanigans, and you're always welcome to join in on it too. 917-889-2053. All callers are welcome, or email the show at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. So has everyone had enough of the fee-fi-fo-fum doldrum of the FIFA? I know I have. It's all you hear about. Kind of like the Kardashians and Kanye. Like them, it shall too pass. I gotta say, the commercial where the soccer player on the Geico commercial scores and goes for that infinite slide like the Energizer Bunny, that's pretty creative. That's humorous. I love that. It keeps on going and going and going and going. Maybe Kurt can give us some highlights and surprises of the FIFA 5-5-5-5-0 in Russia and give us a little insight. But for now, I am hands off with all that. Talking about things overseas, Bobby Labonte, 2000 Winston Cup champion and 1991 Busch Series champ, just got his best finish in the NASCAR Willing Euro Series, where he finished second at Tours is how it's pronounced, in France. His first podium finish. For those of you that don't know what a podium is, it means that they finished first, second, or third. Alain Day, Israeli-born driver, posted his fourth win of the year on a mostly road course series where he won over Labonte, which was actually on an oval. He stated, "I wasn't the fastest today, but it was great teamwork on the CAAL racing side. I had a quicker time than Gabayan in the semifinal, so I started from the pole position. Since then, I defended like hell. The CAAL racing team did an amazing job today. I won over a NASCAR Cup champion today, and that is something incredible." I love how a guy like that goes out and takes acknowledgement that, you know, he beat Bobby Labonte. That's great. Bobby, now age 54, works in NASCAR broadcasting, and you just never know. He may show up in a Cup truck, Xfinity car. We'll keep you updated on his Euro season tour, but Bobby is he's scheduled to continue to race in the Euro series, I believe, through September. Maybe he can win better and get that first place. And like I mentioned, this is his best finish and first podium finish. I was going to go to something, but I'm not going to until Captain Kirk comes online, so we'll go back to it. Everyone can call 917-889-2053 or email us at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. I check the emails regularly throughout the show. Cup Series. Cup ran in the grueling heat of Chicagoland, where even in the evening qualifying laps on Saturday, drivers were getting put to the test of what their bodies could handle, and they struggled even during qualifying. Of course, they're sitting there on pit road with the sun beating down on their windows. This was actually after the Xfinity race, but the cars were all heated up from, you know, being going through the lines. Paul Menard survived the session to win the pole. I believe that's his first one of the year. On Sunday, Kyle Busch would go on to win with what many are calling the best finish so far this year. Busch and Kyle Larson, the Kyle Kyle Show, gave each other some fenders and bumpers on the final laps, nearly taking both out and opening the door for Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick ended up third. So the victory went to Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson in second, Harvick in third. Fourth was Truex Jr., and once again, a Stewart Haas teammate, a Bowyer, rounding out the top five. Stewart Haas teammate, he was not too pleased. Kurt Busch, he came in and he was leading going into the second stage finish, and Stewart raced him hard. Stewart did what he had to do, Harvick, excuse me, I'll get the show right someday. Harvick raced him and ended up with the top points for the stage. Kurt Busch fell to seventh in points, by the way, and yet still needs to secure a win to lock into the chase, as well as Brad Keselowski. He fell out of fourth into fifth. As far as drivers locked in outside the top 10 with a victory is only Austin Dillon. Austin Dillon is in 19th. And we, he's obviously locked in, but the 18th place in points, the 17th place in points, none of them actually are. The big surprise to me is honestly Keselowski and Hamlin. They have no wins and they're inside the top 10. And then Jimmy Johnson, too, who is 12th in points, surprises me as well. Points currently in the Cup Series are Kyle Busch first, Kevin Harvick second, Joey Logano third, Truex Jr. moved up to fourth, and like I mentioned, Keselowski is fifth. I'm going to check an email here real quick, and we'll be right back.
Next in in line. Swing, better, better, swing, better, better, swing, better, better.
All right, we're getting messaged here, a couple of messages actually, and sounds like we got a possible caller that's going to come on in. I am so distracted right now, and I apologize for that, folks. This is why I need a producer. I need an intern. I need somebody to do all my crazy, crazy freaking work for me. You'll work for peanuts. You might get to be my plus one on a press pass at a speedway, something like that. Let's get back to business. So I have notes following up on the Cup Series. Like I said, Kurt Busch was not happy at all with the outcome of Stage 2. And the announcers in the booth made some pretty simple but blatant statements that who cares? It's a stage. If you're going to lead the race, lead the final lap. And Kurt Busch did not. All right, the ARCA Series. ARCA opened up the Chicagoland weekend on Thursday evening. First place was Michael Self, pretty accomplished driver, but not a regular. Sheldon Creed, the points leader, took second, and then third went to Todd Gilliland. Todd Gilliland was not very happy with some of his finishes throughout the weekend. Points currently mentioned Sheldon Creed in first, Zane Smith in second, and Riley Herbert in third. Noticeably not in the field were Gearhart, Kimmel, Harrison Burton, and others. Not quite understanding that. I thought they were more regulars on the series, especially when you consider Harrison Burton's win. And I hope he's going to be at Elko. I really do. Especially at a big old track like Chicago. ARCA opens up for the RRL at Iowa on Saturday, June 7th. And then, of course, the IRL Indy Series on Sunday, July 8th. ARCA will be here in my hometown at Elko Speedway, July 14th. I haven't told you a million times about that, have I? I failed to mention that you'll get discount tickets at Menards stores for almost every ARCA event. Obviously, their stores are plentiful in the Twin Cities area, so reduced price admission is easily available for Elko. Trucks. trucks ran Friday, June 29th, of course, at Chicago. Accident shuffled the board in the closing laps, and Sauter had a bad stop in those final cautions. He had to stop a second time, too, as he needed a lug nut checked. Turned out it was loose. Good move on his part, good move on his crew's part. He rallied back to finish third. Noah Gregson pulled out another top five finish in fourth. He was doing better before that final caution, though. But Brett Moffitt took another win, making it his third of the season. First went to Brett Moffitt, second to Ben Rhodes, third to points leader Johnny Sauter, Noah Gregson fourth, like mentioned, and Brandon Jones for the top five. Sauter still leads in points with Noah Gregson in second. Brett Moffitt now moves to third with three wins. Stuart Friesen, he's been performing like a champ. He's in fourth. Grant Infinger in fifth. Friesen and Infinger with no wins to lock them in as far as the chase in the truck series. Justin Haley is locked in, obviously, with a win at Gateway. He's sixth in points. Multi-time champion Matt Crafton runs seventh in points, still with no victories. Xfinity Series. Boy, do I have some opinions on this. Xfinity Series points got shuffled, knocking out Elliott Sadler as the point leader. Before I get to that, I am not a fan of the Cup guys, or Bushwhackers, as I call them, poaching on the Xfinity Series. Kyle Larson and Kevin Harvick took first and second, regular Cup drivers. Series regular Cole Custer finishes highest in third. The Inferno Heat, just like the majority of the four-day weekend there, a lot of drivers skipping post-race interviews to get some IVs, go straight to the medical center. But yeah, the top five, Suarez, another Cup driver, full-timer, in fourth, and then Sirius regular Daniel Hemric finished in fifth. Former points leader Sadler, had a slim lead going in points and finished sixth, but it wasn't enough to hold on to first place. Points is Cole Custer in first, Daniel Hemric in second, Elliott Sadler third, Christopher Bell fourth, and Tyler Reddick in fifth. Pretty tight points in the top three, but only Christopher Bell and fifth place Reddick have victories locking them in. Justin Allgaier in sixth, he has a win that locks him in. Spencer Gallagher is all the way back in 14th. He has a lock for the chase with a win. Then we go all the way to Ryan Preece in 29th in points with a win, but only three starts, which I believe doesn't make him eligible for the final chase showdown races. This is why I still don't like the structure. Larson isn't Xfinity Championship eligible, right? He won the race. I get that and agree with it. But with the when you're in format, the Cup guys are stealing that from would-be Chase eligible series regulars. Why not let the guy that finishes third be locked in, who's behind the first and second guys from the Cup Series or whatever. It could even be a guy that's racing for points in the Truck Series versus the Xfinity Series and gets a win. But unless they're competing for points in that exact series, I don't know. I, however, say that I see a lot less entrance from the upper echelon drivers, lower echelon drivers who aren't competing for points in those series with the way it's set now. And it's going to come down to points more than it does in the Cup Series. If anyone wants to weigh in on this long debated subject, let's discuss it. 917-889-2053 or email speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. I'm going to take a quick little break here and check some emails, and we'll be right back. I'm going to give you two words, three syllables each, Gatorade and nicotine, and only one of which I am allowed to have in my office. That's fine. NHRA, after a weekend off, NHRA will swing out to the New England Upper East Coast Nationals in Epping, New Hampshire, Friday 6th through the 8th. NHRA will swing back to Colorado in the middle, and then all the way tic-tac-toe-board style as they head to Sonoma out in California. Crazy touring going on there. Then they'll head up to Washington before coming back east for their annual weekend at Brainerd International Raceway here in Minnesota, August 16th to the 19th. How we doing, Kurt?
Take off your headphones.
Why?
Just take them off. I don't want to hurt your ears. Are they
on? I'm waiting.
Off?
Sure.
Go! Okay, thank you.
Go who?
Goal. I was trying to do the, you know, soccer, the guy from Univision. I forgot his name. The Spanish-speaking guy that helped started that whole thing in soccer. Goal! Where we do it really loud.
You know, I actually find the foreign announcers more entertaining than the English-speaking.
Well, and I haven't been keeping close attention except to the scores, but I was watching the Russia and Spain game. Russia won, and people, you may not like that. You may not like it, but it's a gigantic upset. But the guy, and I think Fox, the regular old free TV Fox, they have a show called World Cup Tonight, and I always forget to check his name. The guy looks just like Bobby Heenan, a young weasel, and that too, and you know, And before I forget, as you were talking, going after FIFA, I believe the 1986 Goodwill Games, it was on TV, and I did, maybe it was like Wide World of Sports or something, but they had a thing called Moto Soccer, where the guys were on motorbikes playing soccer.
Yeah, I've seen different collaborations of those types of sports, and it's pretty entertaining. I mean, when you look at, oh, what the heck is the one on the horses? Is that cricket? Is that?
Oh,
polo.
Oh, polo.
Yep. Okay, that is the one on horses.
Yep, polo. And by the way, though, the one thing I always thought, I remember the first time I ever watched arena football in 1990, heard about it. I watched the championship game. There were only 8 teams. But arena football, they didn't hide the fact that all it meant was offense. But when those guys would slam each other up against the walls, and there were people, though, that would actually run out of bounds, and it would only be about maybe 3 inches you could run out of bounds.
Wow.
But arena football is kind of cool.
And apparently Vince McMahon wants to bring back the XFL as well.
Yes.
Let me plow through some notes here real quick. I want to get back to something earlier. And we still got like a half hour. Steve Torrence still leads top field after the weekend off. Courtney Force obviously holds a commanding lead in Funny Car after a loss to Hagen. And Hagen is tied at 788 points to Jack Beckman in Funny Car. Pro Stock is still led by Tanner Gray, and Eddie Krawick leads Pro Bike. We'll be doing a feature of the Women of Horsepower soon, and you can bet a large portion will be about the women of the NHRA. Indy had the weekend off, and Scott Dixon still holds the lead in points. They return at Iowa with the ARCA Series when they race on Sunday, July 8th. On the short track, as far as Indy standards, and I'm sure Kurt would agree, it's not the biggest track in the world for them to be putting those airplanes on wheels. Then
that
they head
one,
off to
I was thinking about Iowa, though, and Indy cars, even being down there a couple years ago, seeing that track and hearing that the IRL is there too, does an event. I am thinking challenging, but I could also see them getting a little bit more speed than you would actually think that they could get on a less than a mile oval. I could actually see them, but still challenging because of the banking.
I don't know. Yeah. I wonder what the lap times are compared to the stock cars.
Yeah.
And then head off to Canada for the Honda Indy Toronto Grand Prix on the street course, July 15th. I believe they'll have a lot of support races as far as Indy Lights, as far as SCCA, things like that. World of Outlaws, I got to cover real quick. Donnie Schatz, 10-time Knoxville Nationals champion, led all 25 on the opening night on Friday to score his 12th World of Outlaws victory of this year. And then on Saturday, David Gravel had a perfect restart on lap 10, charging from third to first, and then held off Johnny Schatz to win his 4th World of Outlaws feature this year. The series currently sits at first with Donnie Schatz, who's led pretty much the whole season. Brad Sweet still doing good in second. And then David Gravel, again, Saturday night's winner, sits in third. let's get to that email that I haven't read yet. I got to scroll all the way up to the top of my page for it. And we would... Where is she? I need to index this stuff better. We'd like to thank Mary from Beloit, Wisconsin for her email to speedwayanywhere@outlook.com. Mary said, I grew up with my dad competing with Jim Sauter at Rockford Speedway in Illinois, as well as other tracks like Kaukauna. She said, it's rare that anyone features those days and that kind of history, as well as the family heritage and history of the of families like the Sauters. Well, Mary, we thank you for tuning in. Those years and decades really made their mark on me. Obviously, I'm doing a motorsports show focused mainly on stock cars. But if you ever want to send memories of Trickle Wallace, Kowicki, Mike Miller, Mark Martin, and everyone that put Wisconsin on the map for stock car racing, please do.
It left a skid mark on your heart. I heard that a while back.
At least not in my underwear.
I wasn't going there. Well, I kind of was. That was a Go-Go song, by the way.
And Mary, there's a pretty good chance. I probably saw your dad racing somewhere sometime, too. So, but, yeah, everyone can email Speedway at speedwayanywhere@outlook.com or join us in on the show. I mean, we can go live right now and talk any motorsports, multi-sports. 917-889-2053. So, you got any cocky remarks to say about the FIFO phone?
Well, just the fact that, you know, might as well face it, just the fact that, you know, it is the world's most popular sport. We didn't qualify. But it's not going anywhere in America. But, you know, one thing, though, what Leicester in the British Premier League did 2 years ago, their odds were like 350-1. They were finished to be dead last, and then they won the title. And even I knew people that just hate soccer, football, that kept on bringing it up, and they actually have a logo, and their nickname is the Foxes, and although they're officially Leicester FC football club, that was cool, and I actually saw a cool t-shirt with a fox at that time, but yeah, that thing made such big news in that, and I know the loonies got 22,000. They sold out on Friday night, and I know, and yeah, I do know there was maybe some people might see it a little bit of a political deal why they had a big night, but that is still a big deal to get 22,000, and they're not drawing bad, and went to one game, and it was a fun day, beautiful Sunday afternoon, and we won 2-0.
You know, I'm not one to really weigh in on the whole FIFO. And but I got to say that with the World Cup going on right now, I'm sure it does put more focus on it as far as the local level.
Oh, God, yes.
So it creates interest. It's got to sell seats. I don't know. I'd kind of like to someday just go to one and, I don't know, kind of absorb what walks of life these people are. I mean, if they're, you know, is there Europeans showing up? Is there Brazilian showing up? Is there Australian showing up? Is there, or is everyone just a typical Twin Cityan?
A lot of you know, typical Twin City and families, soccer moms, soccer dads, NASCAR moms, NASCAR dads. Then you see your people all decked out. Mom got a scarf at that game, which I always thought was really cool to do that. And I just know, and I knew that she wanted a, I just thought, I'm not going to tell her to get a scarf because that's the tradition there when it comes to soccer, football, whatever you guys want to call it. But scarves up, you know, and I got to admit, what was really cool there, I figure since I'm at a British game, the World's game, guess what I was able to find there? And this is, from what I've been told, it's a light beer in Europe. But I asked if they had Guinness, and I got to have a Guinness at a sporting event in Minnesota, and I thought that was really cool.
Wow. By the way, I'm still looking for that caller that messaged me on Facebook that wanted to weigh in on the long-debated subject of the Cup drivers driving in the lesser divisions and taking the wins. So 917-889-2053. Come on, baby.
Maybe it's Kevin Harvick. Maybe it's Kevin Harvick.
I ain't got Kevin Harvick on my friend's page. Or maybe he's using an alias. He might be using an alias.
True. Yeah, he'd go down as Kurt Busch. Nobody wants to deal with him.
Yeah, him and Kurt Busch had it out on Sunday.
Oh, yeah,
all
they
right.
did.
Twins. Twins shared the heat with NASCAR in Chicago over the weekend. You said 17 players. That's how many they used in the game.
Well, those pitchers' arms sure weren't showing much heat. You know, but...
I can't imagine you really could, but holy crap, with the number of hits put up. Also, that detail about the 25 points the Twins scored through the three-game series with the Cubs and didn't win one. And six of those were in one game. The other 19 were split between the other two games, and... That's about all I can come up with for Twins news. This is just, I'm not going to say I'm embarrassed by it, but holy, what, how, the 100 game win season versus, then again, you got to weigh that against the other side that they had probably their worst season the year before, so.
Well, I got to admit one thing. This is the all-time sound clip on Speedway Anywhere right now.
I'm
going to
mute
you. Be that crappy? How could you be that crappy and have runs like that? There are people that will get that joke.
You'd have... I, you know, I realize this is my show, and the FCC can't touch me, but yes, how can you be so crappy and not have runs?
Exactly! I've been waiting for that all weekend. I've been waiting to say this all weekend.
Oh, my God. You know, I've been kind of like, you know, okay, we're halfway into the auto racing season and whatnot, and this is a motorsports-based show, and we can always do the Vikings. We can always do the whatever in the off season and all that, but I've been thinking about maybe doing a highlight reel, and now I just got a highlight. How can you have... Mm-hmm. How can you be so crappy and not have runs? Okay, now that one's going to make the highlight reel like around Christmas time after racing is all shut down and there's no Monster Jam show at the U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yeah, we could put out an MP3 or a CD, raise some money for a charity. And
I need the money. Screw the charity.
You know, and
this operation, you know, will pay for itself.
By the way, could I just drop a racer's name here that I think would be really cool to get on here? Would be Merjack, Steve Merjack, and his story. That would be cool.
And there's also his dad that came before him, Mike Merjack.
Yeah. You know, I would hope so.
So, yeah, we're working on it. Jesse Preston, who was on last Thursday, thank you, by the way, made mention that he's got a buddy, Jeremy Wall, who I know was running up against Merjack at Raceway Park. They're pretty much 1-2, 2-1, 1-2, 2-1 over the years. And I don't know, Jeremy could possibly get me in contact with him. That would be awesome. Let's keep plowing through this real quick. What are we, 17 minutes to go? All right. The Lynx, finally back on the winning side.
Maya is hot. She's going to be in the Hall of Fame. And because when they're on and stuff, can't, because of some other stuff going on in life at the moment. Can't always, so I just pick up the score, but I believe she got another award for the second straight week, and she was player of the week last week, or was that about a week and a half ago? Yeah, Maya Moore, she can play, and, you know, and, yep, just, oh.
Yeah, a lot of naysayers, yaysayers, whatever, as far as Lindsay and the Gopher coach job. And you know, as much as we could say that Lindsay was a major, major piece of the Lynx, she wasn't the only Lynx. That's it.
Oh, God, no. Gustafson. I mean, just, you know, and Lindsay will probably be in the Hall of Fame herself. I don't follow basketball super closely, but I know Maya's going to be just, Maya's one of the greatest college players of all time, too, so she is, and Lindsay just everywhere she's played, and just that impact and, you know, and
So, yeah, as far as Lindsay, straight hair or ponytails? I know it's not final laps, but I just had to mention it. I saw her on the Nuff Said show with Barrero, and I was just like, dang, she looks good with her hair straightened.
I got to admit, the ponytails are different, but when I've seen her out, you know, she's just, when she doesn't overdo her hair, yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, and I like the way she moves personally, but no, I'm kidding. Lindsay, if you're listening, just a joke.
She's got the moves like Jagger. She's got the moves like... So Phoenix, Seattle, and L.A. are on top. With the Lynx, fifth, technically. Well, it depends how you look at it. I mean, with the Washington Mystics type fourth, I mean, that depends how you look at that. They're going to be playing tomorrow at home versus Indiana. Hopefully that separates that fourth and fifth dilemma. I think there's 13 wins for Phoenix. And the Lynx are 10 and something. I didn't do my notes right. But hey, it's not NASCAR, so I'm good. So, Kurt, what do you think about this? LeBron goes to the Lakers. I don't care where he went, but he's getting $154 million for a 4-year deal. That outnumbers any NFL quarterback on a 5-year.
You know, for as much as I do want to just say, you know, one guy is going to get beat, you know, quarterbacks get beat up more. I think, though, that the quarterbacks have a lot more competition amongst each other, so that salary could go down, where LeBron, he's the stud in the NBA. That's, you know, I mean, he, and let me put it this way, although it'd be like Richard Petty. Imagine if today was his heyday. He'd be the number one guy, period, and he might actually make more money than some of the baseball players, and I don't mean actually like getting, you know, $100 million contract or anything, but just compared to everybody else in his sport, that's just it. But with quarterbacks, though, you know, it just shows you the dominance that LeBron has, just period. And he does draw people in, and even ticket sales, season ticket sales, I heard even right away went up for the Lakers. I mean, and so.
Oh, I believe it.
You know, and let's be real, although they haven't made the postseason in 5 years, the Lakers, though, they're still not struggling. They're you know, on. They're not struggling, and they still have that pedigree because of their history. Thank you, Minneapolis. I'm including Mr. Grant and Mr. Mike.
I was just going to ask, when do you know what year it was when they left town?
I believe their last season was 60 or 61.
Oh, was that long ago?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what, recall what Favre's contracts were like? What kind of money, what kind of terms, what kind of years when he was here, not Green Bay?
No, and of course we didn't get him in his heyday, but some people have just said his best year was 2009. I can't remember his contract.
You know, he might not have had the consistency here, but I would call that one of his heydays.
You know, I mean, but I know, like, his deal with the Jets, you know, he wasn't terrible, certainly wasn't a major bust, but Then he came in here and probably had his best year. He just didn't get picked off that much. But I don't remember his contracts.
I know I've said it a million times, and I still think he is hands down the best athlete. He could take a team and that sucks and carry their weight. And then he could take a great team and make them even better. And just, I think Favre was the man.
Yeah, and according to a lady, I forgot which city, if it was Green Bay here or New York, that there's a lady that might think he can take a bad offensive picture, too, with his phone, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was the best and worst of times as far as, oh, God, that bounty that was put on him and everything. You know, like hard luck Minnesota fan, you get out in the bandwagon and then all of a sudden they're playing freaking, I don't know, polka or something.
How do you think Martin fans feel? You know, you get on the bandwagon and just...
Bridesmaid, totally bridesmaid.
Yep. And
second.
Yes. And
that was even to Earnhardt when they, I'll have to look up the details, but when they borrowed another team's car and, yeah. Hey,
you do got to just say one thing. Would people be talking about Mark Martin, though, not being a bridesmaid? Would less people be talking about him if he was ever the bride, though? Maybe the bridesmaid was more beautiful, though, than the bride.
I'm the frickin' groom, and I call the shots, so I'm good with all of it. Hey, we're getting down to less than 8 minutes. I got to make a mention. There is a channel on here on blogtalkradio.com/fan4racing. Fan, F-A-N, the number 4. Racing, and it's a woman named Sharon, and she's actually had multiple ARCA drivers, East Coast Wheeling Series drivers, Truck Series driver Ben Rhodes was on there on last Wednesday night, and Ben Rhodes don't suck. I'm kind of bargaining things out here so we can cross-promote each other's shows. So check out Sharon. She's going to be on. Matter of fact, she's actually on right now. She started at 7:30, 8:30 Eastern time. So Fan for Racing on blogtalkradio.com, the number 4. And I'll be tuning in and hopefully calling into her shortly here after my show wraps up. All right, let's go. My nicotine gauge says I'm running out of fuel, and I don't smoke in the studio, so let's hit up the final lap so I don't run out of fuel. Oh, you're going to hate me. Not yet. If you could change one thing and only one thing about NASCAR, no matter what era or eras, what would it be?
Oh, man. Oh, I would probably say the only thing that's coming to my head right now, because I would have to do a lot of digging again, I'd probably say I think I would make the qualifying a little bit longer.
Kind of like Indy?
Yeah. Yeah, and where just do it in one day, but I mean literally go around 3 times.
Okay. For me it would be the name.
Huh.
the stupid things people say, like, what? All you got to do is go out and buy one of those NASCARs and paint it up like a box of laundry detergent and go 200 miles per hour. You know, and
could I bring up another thing real quick as you mentioned that?
And we have 4 minutes and 45 seconds.
I'll hurry it up. People, don't call everything, every single division NASCAR. Start saying the Cup Series. Start saying Xfinity Series. Start just say, because people, that's part of the lingo. You know, don't say NASCAR when you're talking about the Daytona 500. Say the Cup Series.
Well, it's so stupid, dude, because so many people just, they say, oh, he races a NASCAR.
Yeah.
It's not a NASCAR. Yeah. It is a stock car. It is a, and then I wish somewhere, somehow we could change the name. I got to skip ahead. If you could change one thing and one thing only about the NFL, no matter what era or eras, what would it be?
I would change the name from the No Fun League to the WFL Always Fun League.
The AFL.
Let some dancing go on in the end zone.
All right, here's mine. You can't take a freaking knee. Screw the knee. If you take a knee, you have to give the ball to the other team. They automatically get the timeout to reset the whole field. And if you're not playing through the clock, screw you.
Yeah. That would be interesting.
Yes. Give it to the other team. Or play the ball. There's a chance that they might intercept it or something and run it all the frickin' way down the field and win the game.
Yeah.
Play the ball.
Yeah,
the ball. Be the ball.
Yeah, hand off to a special team player.
I mean, NASCAR has new rules that keep the race from finishing under caution the best that they can. Why should they be able to take a knee and finish under caution in the NFL? I don't get it. All right. based on our cartoon draft picks, I must ask, is Jeff... yes, this is getting dangerous. Is Jim truly outrageous? I kind of wish I would have picked her.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got no talent. They're all good at coloring their hair and doing makeup, but she's got no talent. It would have been a nice distraction to the other cartoon characters, being like, whoa, look at that hottie. All right, I got the speed. All right, Jimmy's Johnson, Junior's Johnson, or Ron Jeremy's Johnson?
Oh, God, you got to take Junior's Johnson, because anybody that would say anything good about Ron Jeremy. You know, the guy is so self-deprecating in interviews and everything, but, God. And from some old interviews that some people did in the 60s with Junior Johnson, not a dumb guy, and I don't think Junior Johnson needs that much attention either. So, you know, people point him out without him pointing himself out to you. So,
all right, there was that reality show, whatever, on VH1 where Eric Estrada and Vince Neil and all them were on it. And I remember Eric Estrada saying they all wanted to see it. So they were just like, so Ron Jeremy dropped his towel, and Eric Estrada said, man, I'm not into men, but that thing looks like a Cadillac.
Oh, God! Oh. Well, don't forget though, he was a biker. I wonder if Chips ever went to San Francisco. Think about that.
All right, we just got cut off the air, but this will be This will be on podcast.
I'm glad nobody heard what I just said.
They did. It just blinked out. So, but yeah, we're still recording. All right, with the Eagles in town, sounds like it was a great show. And Glenn Frey's kid was there doing a lot of stuff. So, Glenn Frey, the movie Fried Green Tomatoes or French fries?
Oh, you know what? I got to go with Glenn Frey because his dream girl, he has said, was my dream girl, although she's only 2 years younger than my own mother, because Miss Ronstadt is responsible for putting that band together, and that was his dream girl as he's introducing her at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The man had taste, so I got to go with Glenn Frey.
Yeah, I mean, as much as ranch and French fries, I got to say that sounds like everyone loved the show. I don't know why everyone keeps on talking about on radio that they showed up late and only caught the end of Jimmy Buffett. It's like, okay, stupid. You know? So, hey, I'm going to ship on over to Fan for Racing, blogtalkradio.com, Fan for Racing.
All
and
right.
Check out Sharon's show tonight, and hopefully we can cross-promote. She's got a decent listener base. I know that, she's got connections. I want to make friends.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Nice. I want to have a Thanksgiving dinner. I want to meet up and, like, make things happen. So thanks, Captain Kirk.
Beam us out.
Beam us out.
Captain.
Beam us out?
Beam us out. Star Trek.
That sounds like a foreigner word. Beam us out.
Beam us out.
So. I'm going to do that at the Super America next time. When they say thank you, I'm going to say, beam us out.
Okay.
So, I'm your crew chief, Q. This has been Speedway Anywhere. blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Wherever you go, get there fast. We'll be back Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. Our next feature will be on the mid-season report. Let's go.